Hey Jeff, you ready to pod? We haven't podded in a while, Jeff. Let's do a pod.
How do I hang up on Skype? I forgot how.
And that was the very last episode of Slavicast. Thank you to everyone that's been listening. Sorry we were gone for a month. Busy schedule. We were going to get into it in this episode, but I guess we're not now, so.
No. No, we have to talk about new iPhones.
Yay!
We're kind of obligated to, right?
Yeah, as podcasters, we have to spend at least 5 minutes, probably let's do less. Let's aim for 3 to 4 minutes talking about the stuff we bought from this keynote because we need to make it a tax write-off. Yes, I am peeking behind the curtain. The reason why we all do it is so it's a tax write-off.
All right.
I'm not wrong. Anyways, yeah, new Apple event happened. They announced stuff. Do you want to go first or should I go first on what we bought?
Mine's real quick. I think I only got one thing. I just got the new iPhone 11 Pro.
Okay. Which size?
The regular, the 5.8.
Okay.
I have an iPhone 10.
That's what I got too.
And so I wanted to just like upgrade my iPhone 10 to the same size. I didn't want to go max. I didn't, you know, I was considering getting the iPhone 11, not the Pro, but like I keep calling it like the non-Pro instead of the regular. Like I think I just catch myself doing that because like I think Apple's whole thing is that like the iPhone 11 is the iPhone, and then the iPhone Pro is for the people that like want to go pro. But I always see the iPhone Pro as the iPhone, and then I see the iPhone 11 as the non-pro phone. You know, like I always have that negative connotation with the 11 as I do instead of like the 11 Pro. You know, it's just weird to me like that is the dichotomy in which these two phones are in my brain. Because I haven't heard any, I'm sure I've heard other people do it, but like that was the literally the first thing I noticed about these new phone names is that nothing has changed in my mind of like what phone is for who and what phone is for me. Because I was originally considering getting the 11, and then, all the big reasons of like why you'd go from the 11 to the 11 Pro, the screen size, the cameras, the cellular connectivity, the modem in the Pro is actually better for LTE than the iPhone 11 is.
You're not going to notice a difference.
I know, but like on paper,
Yeah, it's the same thing with the screen too. Like it's so small, you're not going to really notice a difference. Like it's not going to be like, oh my God, the screen on the iPhone 11 is just worthless. I just can't even use it. I can't even be bothered with it anymore. Like it's just not even good, guys.
Fair enough. But one of the reasons why I decided to go Pro as opposed to getting the regular one, or the non-Pro, is the third camera. I wanted to have the telephoto, and like that was one of the big things for me is that like I use the telephoto a lot, and with this new kind of thing that I'm doing for the next year involving photography with my iPhone, it kind of made sense for me to upgrade and go to the Pro as opposed to going to the 11. But yeah, that's all I got. The 64 gigabyte space gray iPhone 11 Pro, non-max size.
That's interesting you say you use the telephoto, because I'm coming from an iPhone 10 as well. I do not use the telephoto because I actually know it's a worse camera. Like it takes worse pictures than the wide angle one, so I always just walk closer.
Yeah, but I have cats I take a lot of photos of. It's really difficult to walk closer to a cat when you're trying to get like candid photos of them because they like immediately notice you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll have to take your word for that one.
Okay.
So I bought, probably no surprise to this one, I bought the 10.2-inch iPad that was announced.
Yeah.
I'll do a couple videos on it. I have some ideas. I got the 32-gig one, space gray. You know, nothing exciting.
Are you going to keep it?
I also got the iPhone 11 Pro Max 256 space gray. Now, here's the important thing to keep in mind. I am in a very fortunate position where I did not have to pay for it. I just robbed somebody.
Nice.
No, my day job is taking care of that. So, you know, cool. So I'm not actually having to buy it myself. So that's why I was able to get that one. Honestly, if I was buying it myself, I either wouldn't have upgraded because I'm still really happy with my iPhone 10. I would have just gotten the battery replaced and called it a day, or just gotten the iPhone 11. I don't think I would have went with the Pro if I was personally buying it. So yeah, that's interesting. And I'm going to contradict myself from the last time I recorded like 2 months ago. I might big old asterisk on this one, get an Apple Watch. And I'm thinking about, That new Series 5 with the always on display, the California watch face, if you like pare it down to its most minimal like design, like get rid of all the numbers and all the ticks and all everything, like just have it in its very minimal configuration, looks very nice. Yeah, that looks nice. And the what, how do you pronounce it? The ceramic, the stuff toilets are made out of.
Ceramic.
The ceramic one with the white sport band. Yeah, it looks nice. And I didn't have to buy my iPhone, so that's how I justify it, is I didn't have to buy an iPhone. So, I mean, I can't afford not to, right? That's how it works. So, you know, maybe I'll get it. I honestly, with the Apple Watch, I really miss the activity stuff, like the fitness tracking, and I really miss playback controls on your wrist. I can turn off all the notifications. That's fine. But I miss those two things. But I also really love the design of a mechanical watch. I know we don't have time for this and we need to move on. But anyways, that's it. That's the end of my thoughts.
All right. I just put it in follow-up for you possibly getting an Apple Watch. We're going to check into it next time we do an episode.
Okay. Next time, it'll probably be, honestly, if I buy one, it'll be after October. And it'll only depend if there is an October event and there are new iPad Pros released. I will definitely not be buying an Apple Watch. Absolutely not. If there is or isn't an October event and there are no new iPad Pros, then I won't. Then I may or may not get one, if that makes sense.
Okay. So it's a definite no if there is new iPad Pros. It's a maybe if there is not.
If there is new iPad Pros, it is a definite no, because that's a lot of money right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Especially if you're trying to go ceramic over here. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Because that's expensive. It looks really good. It looks really nice. Like, I love the look of that thing. It's like the first Apple Watch I can say I love the look of.
Yeah. Ironically, not the first time that they've had a ceramic Apple Watch, but
when that one came out, I was not in a position where I could have even like I afford to look at it. Like Apple's like, huh, we saw your bank account, go away.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do we have time to talk about the new camera system in the Pros? Because I know that we both got the iPhone Pro, and I want to talk about the camera system.
Yes. I have a couple of quick notes I wrote in our doc here. So I've heard a lot of people talk about, oh, they don't really care about the ultra wide. They really would have preferred to have like a more zoomed in telephoto or a different focal length, just something different than the ultra wide. So I kind of want to talk about like what I think each camera is for or what each lens is for. Spoiler for a little bit later in the show, I bought a camera for all my video stuff. And like the last like 3 months, it's probably been about 6 months, really. I have delved into camera internet, and oh my gosh, I feel like I could write a book on camera stuff now. There's so much to learn. It's so crazy confusing. I wouldn't call myself an expert in it in any stretch, but like there's so much to learn. So anyways, there's three cameras on the Pro now. There's an ultra wide, a wide, and a telephoto. The ultra wide is what my thinking is for, is landscapes. I live about two hours away from Yosemite, like the National Park Yosemite. Beautiful, beautiful scenic place. I see a ton of people up there with just like their iPhones just taking random photos. And they're at these beautiful, huge, like scenic spots. And they're getting these like what the industry calls a wide photo. But you should be really using an ultra wide lens on that. Some call it a fisheye lens. You should use something like that. So that's what this ultra wide's for, like beautiful, wide scenic shots. Then you got your wide, which is, you know, for your standard, like, hey, room full of people kind of thing. Like, that's your average phone camera lens. Great lens, great focal length for, like, if you just need one lens, that's great.
It's the one that, like, everyone's been going to but prior to the 10.
Exactly. And then your telephoto. So everyone thinks telephoto is for taking pictures from a distance, which it is. But the other thing telephotos is used for, especially telephoto lenses, because it's usually at a really small f-stop, you can get really nice compression. So that means you get that nice blurry bokeh background. So a lot of telephoto lenses, you know, those portrait shots of like one or two people that are like chest up?
Yes.
So that's what, you know, a good telephoto lens with like a really blurry background around something like somewhere around like 85 millimeter is that's what that's for. Now, the telephoto on the iPhone is really 50 millimeters, which to me isn't actually even telephoto. Telephoto starts at like 70 millimeters.
Yeah.
So it's not really telephoto. 50 millimeters is a good portrait lens. Like, that is a good solid portrait lens. And that's kind of like what I think of the telephoto lens on the iPhone is. And especially now that the telephoto lens, the sensor in the telephoto is this on par with the wide one, I can definitely see me using that more for like portraits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I say portraits, I don't mean portrait mode. I'm not really a big fan of portrait mode on the iPhone. I just mean like portraits, like taking pictures of one or two people, like close up.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's really hard to kind of talk about camera stuff, especially when we're using terms like portrait, and then also have to differentiate it from like the software side of Apple's camera. It's really difficult.
Yeah, I get why they did it. I mean, portrait mode is not the same as taking a portrait.
No.
And now that I've gotten really into photography, I started to see like the edges and stuff of portrait mode. Like, I've gone back and looked at my portrait mode photos and stuff, and they just don't hold up for me. I mean, it's a great feature if you like to use it. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with using it.
Right. And the only other thing I want to kind of add real quick is that like the really cool thing about the demonstration that was with the iPhone 11, I believe, when the keynote was going on, was that like you could take a regular photo, and then because you're using the wide lens, you can actually use a zoom that you can actually zoom out of your photo when you go and edit it, because it's actually taking another photo or taking that computational data from the ultra wide lens of like, oh, if you, cause like, I don't know about you, but I've always like had photos where like, I'll either take a photo of my cat and part of its ear is cut off, or like, I'll try and take a photo and like someone's shoulder is like awkwardly cut in the edge of the frame. Like, I kind of wish I could just shift something over or zoom out just a small bit. Turns out you can do that now with iOS 13 and the new iPhones, is because of the ultra wide camera, which to me is, I think the way that Phil Schiller explained it, which was computational mad science, was like the perfect way to kind of explain everything that comes with these cameras. Not only do they come with like really nice hardware and sensors for a iPhone camera, but they also work out really well for editing photos and stuff like that when you realize that you made a mistake, but you can't really necessarily go back and recapture that moment again. But because of the way that these computers work with these cameras, is that it allows them to work in tandem and like just make things a lot easier for the user, which I am personally really, really excited about.
Well, why don't you talk about you, because you've told me, like, it's, I'm not gonna pretend I don't know, but why don't you tell us about your new project that you want to do, because this is the perfect time to.
Okay, so like with my, I alluded to this earlier, but like one of the reasons why I decided to upgrade from the 11 to the Pro is that I want to start taking more photos with my iPhone. Not necessarily because it is the only camera that I own that's like nice, quote unquote. I don't own a DSLR. I don't own a digital camera of any kind. I haven't in quite a while, but I used to. And I used to get really into still photography, and still photography is still something that like I get really interested in. I'm probably really lost if you were to talk to me about some of the camera stuff that you learned about, Chris, because it's been such a long time since I've been in that game. Like, the last camera I owned, for anybody that is a camera nerd that is listening, I think it was the Canon T3i. That was the last camera I had.
Ooh.
That, yeah.
That's, wow, going retro.
I think they're at, like, T8i now, so it's like five or six iterations.
I think the 9 was just announced, maybe. I don't know. I don't follow the rebel line.
Really? Okay, that was my line when I was in college and just out of high school. That was like my line. Before that, I had a Canon XR, which was literally just a Canon Rebel still image camera. There was no video involved with it at all. At least I think it was called XR. Maybe it was XS. I don't know. Anyway, Canon had that name prior.
XS.
God. But anyway, Canon had that name prior to the iPhone. But we're not going to get into that. But like I said, like still photography, what is in is still something that like I get really interested in. And every time that you know, photos are brought up, or every time I see the new photos that are part of the Shot by iPhone series, or the new ad campaigns that they've been doing with, called, you know, similarly the Shot on iPhone stuff, it really, really excites me and really gets to me. And something about this keynote really pushed me over the edge of like, I should start taking more photos with my iPhone. And I did, and I have been, and I've got a couple of photos already, but I'm going to do one photo a day starting September 20th when new iPhone day comes. Like from September 20th, 2019 to September 19th, 2020, I plan to post a photo every day. I don't know if it's going to be on Instagram or my blog or both or whatever, but like I'll have links to both on there. And I'll do something with either of them or both of them at some point when all this starts up. But like that's kind of like one of the things I wanted to do is to start taking more photos. And like I think doing this and kind of like releasing one a day would be a fun way to kind of do it, and just kind of like really hone in on that craft. And it's just it just seems really fun. It's bringing fun back into using my phone.
It's a creative project,
right?
Like it's something to get you out of what you normally do and do something different.
Yeah.
It's why I've been getting more and more interested in photography. It's why when I was looking for a camera, I wasn't looking for a camera that was just really good at video, because in that case I would have bought, you know, something ridiculous. I was looking for something that was both portable and was really great at still photography as well.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it, not just because I'm doing something more creative like on a regular basis, but like it's also I'm opening the camera app for more than just like taking a quick photo for like work purposes where I had to like take like visually remember something or like use it as a tool as opposed to a way to kind of a window to my creativity, if you will. It's just kind of fun to kind of think about picking up my phone for more than just like work or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like that is to me more exciting than anything, is to bring kind of the fun and whimsy back into using my, you know, my most used computer. So I'm excited about it. That's kind of what I'm doing. And And I think the iPhone's going to be a really good way to, like, this new iPhone Pro is be a fun way to kind of start this project, because it literally seems like the best phone that Apple's made for cameras and photo for photographers.
Yeah. I do have a quick question. Have you looked into like third-party camera apps? Because if you're doing anything with iPhone photography, like if you plan to take a photo with your iPhone and then edit that photo or post it somewhere and like do photography stuff, you should really look into third-party camera apps. I like Obscura or Hildi. I'm not entirely sure. How to pronounce
Elite or something. Yeah,
something like that. And you should be setting those apps to always take raw photos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The photo size gets jacked through the roof that way, like my Canon EOS R. Every time I snap that button and take a photo, it's a 50 meg photo. But you get a ton of data with raw photos.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, for those that don't know, raw is an image file, but there's a ton of data in it, and you can do some crazy things. Like, I've recovered some photos. Like, if I had taken this with my phone, like, there's no way you'd be able to recover it. It'd just be delete. I've recovered photos and made some of those photos the best photos I've ever taken. So, if you're interested in photography on an iPhone, definitely look into third-party camera apps. And if you're interested in video stuff on with the iPhone, use Filmic Pro. That's the app that I film all my videos with when I was using my iPhone to film. Great, great app. They're about ready to have a really cool update.
Yeah,
we don't really have time to get into.
I will just say that if you have time, watch the keynote. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
The keynote where they had them on there, Sean Baker, the guy, the director of like Tangerine and a few other films, like that were 100% shot on iPhone. They were great. I think those are really cool, and I'm really excited to kind of see what happens with it. I geeked out really hard when I saw them on the stage doing the keynote, so it was a lot of fun. But yeah, to answer your question, Chris, yes, I have a recent subscription to Adobe Creative Suite. So I have Lightroom, Photoshop,
that stuff. Okay.
So I'm kind of going all in on this, and I don't mean to say like if you're gonna try and do something similar to what I'm doing that you have to go all in on this, but like I know what I like and I know what I need for the tools in which that I want to edit my photos. And there's a lot of really cool camera apps and photo editing apps for iOS, but I maybe you guys know this or not, but like I sold my iPad, so I just have a Mac now, and we'll probably get into it, Chris. I think I think it's overdue that we talk about it. But like I have that, and then I also have a running list of apps that I want to try out during this whole process of like, and then I'll probably write a roundup at some point of like what apps were fun and like what I use certain things for, and if it changes in my workflow, then cool. But for right now, I kind of anticipate myself just taking like raw photos on my iPhone, not touching them at all, and just airdropping them to my computer, throwing them on my computer hard drive, editing them, and then putting them aside in a SSD, and then having a cloud storage of some kind for it as well. That's kind of the workflow that I have in my head right now that I haven't like written down on paper or anything, but like that's kind of what I plan on doing. But yeah, I'm going to look into a lot of really cool camera apps and different things that you can kind of play around with. I might do some photo editing tutorials. There's one really cool thing that I learned back in college that like I show people that are really interested in photography that like really get geeked out by this kind of stuff that I do in Lightroom all the time. And it, 9 times out of 10, it makes my photos pop way more and clean. So there's definitely a lot of things that I'll be doing over the year. And doing this of not just like sharing cool photos I take, but also like sharing workflows and things I do when it comes to editing photos and apps that I'm using to take the photos. So that is a sneak peek into what like the next year of stuff, like not exclusively just that stuff, but like that's kind of what I'm going to be doing for my blog and for what I'm going to be doing for like my online publishing life for a while, is that like I kind of want to do a roundup and play around and incorporate this fun stuff into my writing. So that's kind of what I'm doing, and that's kind of part of the reason I'm doing this, is to kind of experiment, have some fun, and share what I learn.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So we haven't really recorded in a while, and it's definitely my fault because I've been slightly busy with
a project. I moved too, so it doesn't, I mean,
yeah, yeah, that too. I mean, it's been, but I mean, I straight up like you asked to record, and I'm like, I can't. I am working on my iPad OS walkthrough. This thing has consumed. I mean, it's consumed my life since June, since they announced it, because, oh my gosh, this has been a roller coaster.
It's consumed the majority of our conversations, too, because I always talk to you about it.
It has, because most of it is just being me, like, being anxious about, like, okay, what do I do now that this feature has been taking out? What do I do that now that this feature's gone? Now, what do I do now that they're forking them, or not forking them, but splitting them? And it's like, anyways, so I mean, you thought it might be fun, and I agree, like it would be fun to kind of go through the walkthrough of the walkthrough, the behind the scenes of the walkthrough,
because there's so much to it. There's so many things that have happened in the time in which that you started doing this. Like, we're going to go into this, but like iOS 13 has been the weirdest beta season I've ever seen in the last, yeah, since so iOS strange. 7 even.
iOS 7, its betas were bad. Like, it was buggy.
Well, they were bad, but they were consistent. They were consistent.
They were consistently bad, yes. But yeah, no, this one has just been weird. And I've been texting you, and I'm just like, what do I do now? So do you want to just start at the beginning and kind of like work our way down, like what the whole like beta cycle, and see like, and go through like what I've been doing for everything?
Yeah. So how did this all start? Was this just an idea that you had? Because I don't, remind me again, but I think the last time that you've done anything like this was like your big video on iOS 12 tips or iOS 11 tips, or I forget which one that was, but like
I did a big-ish walkthrough for iOS 11. I think it's like 18 minutes long or something like that. And basically I walked through like all the big like iPad productivity features. And that's kind of what I did with this. Like early on when at WWDC, when they announced everything, I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to be able to cover everything. Cause my problem is I'm doing a video. You have to be able to keep people's attention and like, so you can't have a video that's an hour long on an OS. Like no one's going to watch that. Maybe a dozen people or so watch the whole thing, but nobody's going to watch the whole thing. So Right now, my video is currently clocked in at 28 minutes and 32 seconds. Like, that's what it currently is, what it's sitting at in the walkthrough. I'm hoping that's probably right about the final time. Like, I've cut a lot of stuff from it. In fact, Shortcuts got its own separate video. Shortcuts is barely mentioned in the whole walkthrough because there is such a big update to Shortcuts that I'm like, well, if I include this, it's its own video. My Shortcuts video is like 24 minutes long.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was such a big change. I had to go through and build Shortcuts, like all my other Shortcuts walkthrough videos. I had to go through and build Shortcuts to explain the changes, because I didn't want to just be like, okay, here's parameters, this is what they do, and we're done. So, like, since June, since WWDC, I spent all of June just taking notes and, like, making notes of everything that was different. And, like, at one point I was like, I may not even, like, cover Shortcuts in the beta period because I just don't know if I have time. Luckily, if we fast forward a little bit, at this last Apple event, Apple announced, actually they didn't even say it on stage, it was in a newsroom article that iPadOS won't come out with 13.0. It's going to come out on 13.1, and that's September 30th. Happy birthday to me. That's a day after my 29th birthday.
Nice.
So that's kind of ironic.
You're turning 29 on the 29th. That's cute.
I know. And I was born on the time I was born was 9/29. So the time I was born was 9/29. The date was 9/29, and I'm going to be 29.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know if that's that's like a cool good luck thing, or if that's like an omen for you where you shouldn't probably.
I'm like Han Solo. I make my own luck.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know,
I think that's Harvey Dent, actually, but okay. Yeah.
I've been from one side of this galaxy to another. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but nothing will ever make me believe it's some all-powerful force that controls everything. No mystical energy field controls my destiny. So June, taking notes, just literally going through everything. One of the things I do, and a lot of other people that like review OSs or apps or whatever, they switch to it full time. So that meant I took all the apps, the third-party apps that I was using. If there was an Apple first-party equivalent, I switched to the Apple first-party equivalent. So Mail, Reminders, Notes, all those, I switched to those because Reminders got a big update, Notes got a couple of features, Mail got a couple of things. So I needed to like live and breathe them. And that's just how I felt like that's the best way to figure out everything that's different. And it really was like that was the best thing I could do was switch to all those apps. It was a pain, but it was what I had to do. Mm-hmm. Then July came around and I started writing the script. At one point, the script was like close to 8,000 words or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was just insane. And I trimmed it back to around 7,000, I think. I should have made better notes about the process. But I trimmed it back to about 7,000 notes and then recorded the audio. And the audio ended up being close to 50 minutes long, like once edited down. Mm-hmm. And I was just, this is too much. It was way too much. So I cut a bunch of stuff that I'm just like, okay, this stuff is either super obvious or not exactly relevant or could be covered in a separate like tips and tricks video. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff has been put back in. Most of it has not. Most of it is gone. And I'm not putting it back in because it would just make the video too long. Like, I don't know about you, but even I couldn't sit through a 50-minute video of everything that's new in iPadOS. Like, that's just too long.
No, I think my cutoff would be about 40 minutes, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, and honestly, I was thinking 30, like, because, and I was just like, my original goal was to make it 20, like, and then, like, once I started writing the script, I was like, there's no way this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So
when you made that limit, was that before or after you saw the WWDC keynote? Like, when do you set that limit for yourself? Like, is that just...
So going into WWDC, I knew I was going to do this video, and I knew in my head it was going to be a long video. And I thought, like, so that video I did, the everything you need to know about working on the iPad video, is about 18 minutes and like 40 seconds, I think.
Okay.
So I knew it was going to be longer than this because there's all new stuff. I needed to get into some stuff. I knew it was going to be longer than that. So I was thinking, okay, somewhere in the 20 to 25 minute region. And then once I recorded that audio and realized it was 50 minutes long, I was like, okay, I got to pare this down to 30. So I pared it down to 30, and that 30 originally had a bigger shortcut section, but I decided Shortcuts deserves its own video. Like 100%, it needs its own video, and I can't justify like brushing over all the stuff. And Shortcuts had a really weird beta cycle. Out of all the stuff in iPadOS, Shortcuts probably had the weirdest. There was stuff being taken out, then added back in, and then stuff. A lot of stuff came back with 13.1, and they were like, well, okay, is this going to come with 13.0, or is this coming in 13.1? So it was just, it was really weird. So I did a whole separate video, so I just felt like I could explain that better. Because a lot of people, they say they like the Shortcuts videos because they're visual, they can see as I'm building them, so they can see what I'm doing in my thought process. And that's basically what this video is. It's me building Shortcuts, explaining what's new, explaining the thought process behind it, explaining what I like and what I don't like. Because there's a handful of things in the new Shortcuts app that I don't like. The biggest one, when you're building a shortcut, you know, when you're building a shortcut, you have the blocks of actions. In the top left corner, it used to say the name of what that is. Now it just shows like the category of what it is. So it makes reading shortcuts a lot harder because you don't know what that action is. You have to look inside that action and kind of see what that is and deduct what that is. And with parameters, that can make things a little bit harder, especially with some of the scripting actions. So I'm not a huge fan of that change. I don't know why it happened, but yeah. So there's things like that. So July came around and I wrote the script and that came and went. August was production month. I spent all of August filming and getting a rough draft of the edit done.
Side note, this is when I started getting frantic messages from you on my thoughts.
Correct.
And my worries and like your worries and like what I should say about them. And like I've talked to you off of several cliffs at the like during this month of August. Like this whole thing was just I didn't think you were sleeping that whole month, to be totally honest.
I didn't. I'm still not sleeping. No, August, at one point, I almost shut down my YouTube channel because it got to be so much. Like, it got to be too much.
Wow.
And it kind of got in my head, honestly. Like, I'm my own worst enemy. I got in my head, and I was making myself anxious, and it just was not a good time. I should have... Ultimately, looking back, I should not have done one big video. I really regret doing one big video. What I should have done was a whole summer of a series of videos. Not because I would have gotten the clicks, not because of better ad revenue, but because I would have been able to go into more detail on features. There's a lot of stuff I had to cut out, a lot of detail that I would have liked to have kept in, but I had to cut it. And commentary too. Like I know a lot of people, they don't want a changelog video. They can just go, you know, watch the keynote or whatever to see a changelog of stuff that they want to know, somebody that uses that stuff every single day, and they want to know what they think. Not that I'm saying like I'm the master of that and I know everything. Like I doubt anyone actually cares what I think, but that's besides the point.
But the thing about like YouTube videos and like being someone online that publishes and like puts out content like that is that like you need to have a personal aspect to it, because like you said, like anybody can like read a changelog or they can look up the differences in that going
exactly.
on.
Yeah, exactly.
And I find myself like clicking off of videos that are just like, here's what's different, here's what's not. Like, I kind of want to know the differences and like why that is significant and like how it could affect people's day to day operations, because like that is to me what is more important to know about.
And there's still a lot of that in my video. Like, I don't want to say that all that's gone, because there's some really important stuff that I feel that needs commentary. So that's in there. But some of the commentary that I felt like that's like, oh yeah, the new multitasking is really good because I could do this, this, and this, 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 and this. I just pared it down to a couple of thises.
Yeah.
And those are like the, like, oh wow, this is really cool that you can do this now, not the obvious stuff.
Right.
So like I made it, like I made stuff hit more. And I feel like that's important. But August was filming month, and this was when, I think it was end of July when I bought the Canon EOS R, right? I think that was it.
Yeah. I'll have to check your Twitter, but yeah, like,
I think I just checked. I don't even know if I can check Instagram. I don't even know if it's on there. But anyway, so I bought that camera and I did 4 videos before I even attempted to film anything for this. I wanted to have every issue worked out, and I didn't.
Yeah, you hit a couple roadblocks.
I did hit a couple of roadblocks because you have issues with like the iPad's refresh rate is really fast, and it like you're supposed to, when you're shooting with a DSLR camera, you're supposed to set your exposure to double the frame rate. So I shoot at 24 frames per second. So technically you're supposed to set it at 48, but you can't set it to 48 on a Canon camera. So you have to set it to 50. That's not a big deal. But the iPad's refresh rate is 120 hertz. So you get weird things like that. So like I had a lot of these technical issues I just had to overcome. So my original plan was Labor Day weekend. I took the Friday before Labor Day weekend off. And my plan was to film that whole weekend. Like Friday, Saturday, Sunday was to film. And Monday I was going to have a rough draft edited. I didn't shoot my first frame of usable video that weekend until 3 p.m. on Monday. Jeez. Yeah. Because I had all these technical issues. I didn't like the background. I had all these things that ultimately weren't a big deal. But this video is something I really care about because I want this video to be a guide for people that work off the iPad to know, like, hey, these are the features that you should really use. Like, this isn't a, this is not 100% not supposed to be like a Federico Vitici, like, iOS, iPad OS review. Like, I'm not even calling this a review because it's not hitting on everything. It's a walkthrough of important features.
Right.
It's not meant to compete with his. It's not meant to do like anything against that or anybody else's. He just does a really big one, so that's why it comes to mind. So it's not meant, but this is meant to be a visual guide, a video visual guide to new features on the iPad. And that's kind of like my thought process through the whole thing is like, if you are an iPad user, but you don't have time to sit there and be on the beta all summer and learn every in and out of every feature, like what do you need to know? And that's what this is for.
Right.
So that's kind of been the whole like thought. So I ended up the following weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I ended up just not really sleeping. I think I got a little bit of sleep, but mostly I just filmed the whole weekend. I spent a ton of time. I should have pulled up my timer and stuff, but I'm well in over 100 hours on this video alone. But I spent a ton of time filming. Then I got a rough draft edited Sunday night, and it came together. And when I say like the video stuff, like all I had was the top down shots. So when you see this video, which you haven't even seen, like I should have uploaded a copy so you could have at least seen it before we did this. But honestly, it's not quite at like you know, when I send you a video, like I never send you a video before like I feel like it's okay for somebody to see it.
You usually send not to say that I have complete editorial like I'm the last gate before everyone sees it, but you usually send it to me when it's like ready to go, and then sometimes I'll click on that like again after you publish it and I go, oh, it's still the same video, it's the exact same video, he just made it, instead of unlisted he made it public, and he added all the metadata and the comments of where, you know, whatever other stuff that you YouTubers have to do when it comes to like posting stuff, like you made all that happen, which is cool.
And you've like actually given me notes too, and I've taken those notes and re-edited and re-uploaded, and I've taken some of your notes I've ignored because I'm like, I like the way this looks, right. So I like it, and this is my project, so I'm gonna go with that. And that actually did bite me in the ass that one time I ignored you. Anyways, I send it to you, and I probably should find a couple other people that I trust that I value their like creativity and stuff like that.
What's your email? I'll have them email you.
Not funny. So not funny. No, I send it to you for a couple of reasons, because I want you to go over and make sure the quality is good, because you know like what like especially working on this podcast together, you know what my level of quality, like if it does not meet this bar of quality, it does not go out. We've recorded episodes that do not go out because I felt they do not meet that level of quality and they should just go away.
Yep. And after the years that like you and I work together, I kind of understand your style as well. So I can kind of call you out when you're doing something that, you know, it might not necessarily be directly, because there are sometimes where like I'll call you and be like, is this really what you would do, or is this just something that like subconsciously kind of went through that like not necessarily, is you? You know, like there have been times where I kind of call you out on that before. You know, like
yeah, and I appreciate that, and I've been trying. I've been trying to mix up my style. My videos became very, became a formula almost. It was very easy for me to produce a video start to finish in a couple of hours. And so I've been adding more creativity. Like I've been adding funny intros or, interesting B-roll shots, especially with this new camera. I bought a macro lens. I bought a macro 35 millimeter f/1.8 lens, so I can do like really interesting bokeh. This camera doesn't do 120 frames per second. It does 60 frames per second. So I'll do like 60 frames per second shots, and then slow it down. Then take those shots and then slow them down to 24 frames. So they're like super slow motion, smooth shots and things like that. Other YouTubers do it. I'm not original I'm not the one that came up with it, but it's more stuff that I'm adding to my arsenal other than here's a tripod pointing down and it's panning left to right.
Yeah. It's fun. Like I've seen some of your I've seen some of the things you've done with that camera and at times, and it's really, really interesting and kind of fun to see you add that to your, you know, add that those extra arrows into your quiver. It's really fun to kind of be able to have that variety, and I think you're better for it, like as a filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I strongly encourage anyone that's interested in starting a YouTube channel or something creative where you need a camera, just start off with the stuff you have right now and see if it's something you're interested in. Don't go out and spend thousands of dollars if you're not even sure like this is going to be a thing. But I'm almost November 19th will be 3 years of me doing YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, it's time for me to upgrade. Like if I'm serious about this, it's time for me to buckle down. Like I'm also like coming out, like right now I haven't been very consistent because I've been working on this video, but like after this video, consistency is going to be key. My growth, like I hate talking about growth, I hate all that stuff, but like this is something I want to do more of. This is something I want to grow, and my growth hasn't been consistent throughout the year because I haven't been consistent. I've had weird release schedules. I've had months where I just release one video. I've had months where I release five videos. I need to be more consistent. I need to be better about that. So that's on me. So once I got like all the technical issues done, like it's actually been pretty smooth sailing since then. I've gotten a bit, like it's pretty much all edited. I have some pickup shots I need to do. I need to reshoot some B-roll shots that are either like overexposed, underexposed, things like that. One thing that I've been doing with this video that I did in a couple other videos too, but I've been shooting in log. For those that don't know, log is essentially like the video version of RAW. But basically your whites and your black levels can't clip. Like but you have to have a ton of light on your subject. Like you have to like, so I've got like these two big like studio lights and stuff like that, that I've been lighting everything with. Got to really kind of crank up the ISO sometimes. But so I've been shooting in log, so I can get some really nice looking footage. Everything's like super kind of cinematic and stuff like that. Cause I want this to be a good video. I want this to be something people enjoy watching. I am having one issue though. I don't know whether to put music behind it or not. I'm stuck on this. I don't know if I should put music or not. Part of me thinks I should because it helps people maintain focus and like it helps, not focus, but like it helps like keep the attention of people. But at the same time, like it might be distracting.
So I
keep going back and forth. I haven't found a track I really like either, to be honest.
Gotcha. I will say the videos in which there is music under it the entire time, I actually watch more of than the ones that are or have no music at all.
Yeah, that's, and I mean,
I will say that
I will fully admit my voice is not the best. I don't have the most interesting voice, so it's not.
Here's the thing: if I'm watching a video, I'm not necessarily like, if I listen to a podcast, that's one thing. Like I know what I'm getting into when it comes to a podcast. Now listen to hours,
and that's a conversation.
Correct.
That's a conversation. That's different.
Correct. And there are some solo podcasts that I listen to, but they're usually less than 5 minutes long, which is like around the kind of the point where you want that to be for a solo show, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're like,
this is 30 minutes. Yeah. Right.
So, but yeah, this video, yeah, this is like a 30 minute video. If you're asking for my vote is have music in it.
And that's kind of what I've been leaning towards. I haven't found any music I like. I've signed up for a couple of like services. I have one more I want to go try. But really, I just need to spend like a couple of hours going through some tracks and finding. I guess I shouldn't find one. I need to probably find five or six. Just depending on length, maybe seven or eight, actually. So that way it's not the same track over and over again. I need to find like a few tracks that kind of lead into each other, which is going to be difficult, but I've done worse before. I will say overall, this has been the most interesting project I have ever edited. I've done short films. I've done documentaries. I've edited Lego stop motion movies. This is the longest project I've ever edited, and it was really interesting having to come up with ways to transition between subjects. Like, I actually came up with a really interesting – well, okay, I shouldn't say I came up with, because this is a technique that filmmakers have used for a really long time. But take your camera, set it to 24 frames per second, the proper filming rate. When you get your new iPhones on Thursday, everyone go into settings and set it to 24 frames per second so you get that nice cinematic blurry shots. 60 frames per second gives it this weird soap opera-y, like realistic, just I don't like that. If you like it, that's fine, but 24 frames per second if you want that cinematic look. Set your camera to 24 frames per second and then shake it. And shake it in front of like interesting lights and things like that. And basically I put these camera transitions in front of each part. So like there's a part where you go from talking about dark mode to, oh my gosh, why don't I have this memorized? Anyways, dark mode to whatever the next part of the video is. And there's a camera transition in between those to show that, hey, now we're talking about something different.
What was your reasoning for that as opposed to like title cards where you had it like kind of broken down into sections?
Title cards are just boring to me. Like, and besides, like the way I wrote the script, like I could put a title card and be like dark mode, but then I'd be like, oh, and by the way, iOS has dark mode. I don't remember exactly what I said in that part, but I think I say something along the lines of iOS finally has dark mode. I'm super excited about this because this has been something I've been wanting for a long time, blah, blah, blah. That's actually probably what I said, knowing me. So I wanted something that was visually distinct because I mentioned like what we're talking about. So I didn't want to do like just title dark mode. It's just, I don't know. I always stay away from titles or try and stay away from titles because I feel like I can't make them look interesting or different. This is one of the things that I have missed about having a Mac the most is After Effects.
Gotcha.
I miss After Effects so much. I feel like I can make After Effects like spin on a dime. Like, I love After Effects. It's not like, if you ask somebody in the film industry, they moan and groan and stuff. But like for what I used it for, which was mostly like animating titles, some little special effects stuff, it was great for that. And I was really good at that. Gosh, Adobe, like, I would love you forever if you brought After Effects to the iPad. Like, and you can't say it's a power issue because After Effects ran on my crappy custom-built PC back in, like, 2006. Actually, no, like, 2000. When did I get into After Effects? Like, 2003 or 4 or something? It was, like, CS2. Whenever CS2 came out. Yeah, that's around
2005, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so 2004, 2005. So whenever CS2 came out, that's when it was. So, oh man, if you guys brought After Effects, oh, I would love you guys. Seriously, I'd love you. And full version Premiere, don't point me to Rush. Rush sucks. It's terrible application. I'm sorry, guys. I love you at Adobe, but Rush is not a good application. Please download LumaFusion and see why it's not a good application. But yeah, I wanted to make this video distinct, different, make it flow just differently. Like I making it sound like it's not my video. It's definitely still my video. It's definitely still my style, but there's just a little like it's the Spinal Tap turn it up to 11 kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I get that. I was just curious, and I think that's kind of like where you and I have like differences as like to like what our styles are like, because I prefer like titles. Like those are the transitions for me that like I get.
I understand that.
And I'm not poo pooing anything like you did, but like that's just how I roll. That's my style. If I were to make videos, it would and they had sections in them like that, I would literally have like title cards on them, and that would be it.
I think that's the blogger in you, because that's how you write a blog. And to me, when I first started doing videos, that's what I was thinking too. But this just, like, I say it in the script, like in the voiceover, I say what we're talking about. So there's no reason for me to do a title card. Like, this in-camera transition is something interesting to look at. Each one lasts 10 to 12 frames, so it's not like this big old long thing. It's just something to visually say, okay, we're moving on. So iPad OS is coming out on the 30th, the day after my 29th birthday. So I am going to release this on the 28th, the day before my 29th birthday. My thought process behind this is, and I talked to you a little bit about it, is, A, the day it comes out, there's going to be a lot of news and stuff like that, and that's great. You can easily get buried in the news. But this is such a long video, I want people to have time to be able to sit down and go through it. So if you work a normal Monday through Friday job, this would be a very, you know, me launching this thing at Monday at 9 a.m. would be a terrible time for most people. So my thought is Saturday, the 28th, 6 a.m., barring any technical issues. If there is any technical issues, it'll come out Sunday. But barring any technical issues, Saturday the 28th, probably right around 6 a.m. in the perfect time zone, which is the Pacific time zone. I think that's going to be a good time for it. I think a lot of people will get something out of it. I didn't want to do it too far in the future, because then like you forget all the stuff that you learned in that video, and I don't want it to be one of those things that's like, okay, you watched it like 2 weeks ago, so now you got to go watch it again. I don't want you to have to listen to me talk for a half hour twice. Like, that would be miserable. I don't even want to listen to me talk for a half hour twice.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
As I'm talking on a podcast, we're at 52 minutes right now. So.
Well, it's different. Like, we've already established that it's different.
Sure.
All right. So I have like a couple of questions that I kind of wanted to ask you in regards to this. Like, this is like big picture, because I think this, you know, we've already went through the process. I just have a couple of questions. It's like, we already have a release date, and it's not. I don't know if your stuff is necessarily like fully in the can yet, or if it's almost there, or you know how much you've got left. So I mean, like, where are you at right now? 12 days before releasing.
So I would say I'm about 90 to 95% of the way done. There's a few B-roll shots I want to fix. There's a few other just minor things I want to tweak. I want to do one more pass at the whole edit. Just like literally, you know, start at the beginning and listen all the way through. Just make sure everything's good, all the cues are right, stuff. Because I've added and tweaked things. LumaFusion's pretty good as long as you have everything, all your clips and stuff locked in place. They call it link. As long as everything's linked in place, everything's usually fine. But I just want to like triple check and make sure it's good. I'll send it to you, and probably have a couple other people that might, I think, in mind that I think they might want to see it. So I'll send it to them as well. Just make sure. I don't know. The whole original reason why I send you these is so like I'm worried that like I don't put something in the shot that shouldn't be in the shot. Which, I mean, I don't, like, there's nothing in like I have or anything that shouldn't be in the shot or anything, but I just panic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what if somebody sees me naked in the mirror, even though I'm not naked when I'm filming and there's no mirror.
Right.
But it's just like, oh my gosh, what if it's there and I just missed it?
Yeah, like, it's that irrational fear of like, did I miss something in this? I get you, because you shoot this stuff in your home, and like it's one of those things.
It's literally just in my office, like, yeah, it's whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, so 90 to 95% of the way there. I will probably be finished this Saturday, is my goal, is to be finished. And then I'll probably upload it Monday for some people to check out and just like go over and make sure. And then that way, if there's anything I need to tweak, I can tweak it during that week and yeah, be ready to go.
Okay. So, I mean, like, with that said, like, how are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling pretty good. I was not feeling good. Like, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was not feeling good about it at all.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of the way it's turned out. I would definitely say this is one of my better videos, best videos. I don't know. I'm really bad at like judging for myself, like on my own. Like, I think everything I do is terrible, but I don't know. People keep watching, I guess.
Yeah. I'm the same way when it comes to like my writings. I mean, people still read.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, either they're really bored or they actually like it. Yeah. I just keep assuming everyone's really bored and they just don't have anything better to do.
I will tell you, and you'll probably tell me, it's not because they're bored. Because if they were bored,
I mean, it's right back at you. Like, it's not because they're bored, but neither one of us believes the other one right now. So that's okay. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
And you spent like the majority of your summer like creating this and working on this.
I haven't gone on vacation or anything.
Right. Well, I mean, like, would you do this again? Like, not necessarily have it like be a big video like this. I know that you've already said that you like next time you would make like smaller chunks. But is this something that you kind of expect to do every year, or for the new iOS, or is this just something that you did because iOS 13 was so big?
I was going to do, so I didn't do this for iOS 12 because, I mean, my whole channel is basically focused around the iPad. I don't really talk about, like iMessage stickers and things like that. Like, it's really my beat. Like, I talk about what I'm interested in. I don't work for a company. I don't have anybody above me. So I only talk about stuff I'm interested in. Like, if I talk about an app, it's because I genuinely am interested in that app and I'm excited about that app. So that's kind of why I did that. It regarding like next year, like we say, iOS 14 or iPadOS 14 comes around. Would I do this again? I think it depends on how big the features are. I think if it's a big update like this one, I would definitely break it up into smaller videos and then maybe do like one big video the day it comes out about like tips and tricks or something like that. Nobody can steal this. TM, Chris, trademark, copyright, C. Nobody steal this. I know Mafia. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I was just watching The Godfather. So.
I also like the idea of we like copywriting a tips and tricks video.
I know. Nobody on YouTube can ever make a tips and tricks video. I copyrighted it on my podcast.
It's trademarked now.
Nobody can do it. It's mine. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, so like if it's big like that, if it's just some minor updates, maybe I would probably just save them all and do it in one big video at the end of the summer. The problem with this one is it was such a massive change. You have big system features. You have apps that got completely rewritten. You have features like mouse support and external storage that needed a ton of testing. There was just so much in this. And yeah, I could have just, you know, sat on Twitter and looked at what everybody else was saying and just wrote like a synopsis, but I really wanted to try it for myself. I bought a ton of external hard drives. I bought a ton of different mices. One just showed up the other day that I totally forgot I ordered and it was on like back order and stuff. So like, it's actually kind of cool that I'm going to do a video on that. But, I think it just depends on what iPadOS 14 is. We'll see when it comes out. I think I'm going to really assess that better. I think what I'm going to do differently, though, is instead of taking a whole week off for WWDC, I might just take a couple of days off and take that week of Labor Day off, or the week before Labor Day, take that off so I can really just like focus in on all my stuff then. Because if I would have had that week then, I would have had no problems, no stress, no nothing.
Yeah.
But the fact it took me almost 4 days to get one shot was ridiculous.
Well, I also think that won't happen again because you aren't going to buy another new camera next time.
Well, yeah. And it wasn't just the camera. I mean, the camera was part of it because I couldn't get the look right. And I did eventually get it right. Like, I really like the way everything looks. I did use some iPhone shots for some things. So like it is mixed. Like, there's some iPhone stuff in there and there's some Canon EOS R stuff. Like, and that actually works really well together, like mixing those two. My Canon EOS R is a really weird camera, as it's really, really good camera. Anyone that uses one will tell you how good of a camera it is. But it doesn't do 4K very well. It's 4K is cropped at 1.6, so it means it's zoomed in 1.6 times. So I didn't want to use that because I don't have a super wide lens to use that for. And plus, like, the 4K data is huge. Oh, you'll find this interesting. My project folder for this video is just under 300 gigs right now.
Wow. That's less than I thought it was going to be totally honest with you. For a 28-minute video like this, I was expecting over 5.
All the Canon stuff was shot at 1080p at 24 frames per second.
Which,
so,
like you said, you weren't using the 4K, which to me, like that if you had done that,
that saved me.
You would have had over a terabyte.
I would have had to go buy the terabyte iPad. Like, I would have had to go buy a new iPad,
right?
Because it wouldn't have fit. So that was one of those things, like, going into this, I decided, I was like, okay, you know, you have a 512 gig iPad. So shooting 4K, like, other than the crop factor, like, even if, like, the crop factor wasn't an issue, I probably would have still had to shoot at 1080p, because I'm just like, there's physically not enough hard drive space. LumaFusion hasn't put out an update yet so that you can work off external drives. So,
oh, yeah, I didn't realize.
We're doing,
so that,
well, I think they can't. So they can access it. So I don't see why they couldn't, like, make an update so that you could access external drives. I mean, you can edit off NAR boxes, and you can edit off those Western Digital Passport.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Passport.
You can edit straight off those. So I don't see why you couldn't edit off, like, a physical hard drive plugged right into the side. It'd even work better because it's not wireless.
Yeah.
Ooh, I couldn't. Side note: I could not imagine editing a 4K video over a wireless hard drive. Like, that's got to be super slow.
I will say that it wouldn't be as ridiculous if it were somehow where you had a wireless connection, but then it was also redirected as via Ethernet.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's even possible, but, like, that's the only way I can kind of imagine it would work.
I mean, USB-C 3.1 is pretty fast. So, and that's what the iPad Pro has.
But then,
so,
you, like, also have to remember of, like, the bottleneck, like, we do not have time to go into the bottlenecking of, like, USB 3 and USB-C stuff. Yeah. Like, it's,
oh my gosh. I am working on a desk setup video right now. Do not even get me started on USB-C hubs. Ugh. I want to destroy every manufacturer that makes a USB-C hub right now. I've wasted so much money. Tax write-off.
Yeah, it's all write-offs for you. That's
yeah. That's the one nice thing.
Yeah,
but,
I guess. To me, it doesn't seem like it's worth it.
it's not. Anyways, so that's kind of, do you have any other questions? I mean, that's kind of it. That's been my summer. Like, no vacation, mostly just stress.
I mean, if, like,
for
I
diabetic, have one, that's great.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. It sounds great for anybody, to be totally honest with you. A whole season of stress. That's
found
great.
A couple of gray hairs in my beard and all sorts of fun stuff. Very,
that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
The only question I have is, like, in the event that, like, either whether it be iOS 14 or iOS 15, like, where you do decide, like, I'm going to do another walkthrough video, and this is just, like, strictly for, like, the product side of things, like, not necessarily how, maybe you can go into, like, the how you would do things as far as, like, production goes and stuff like that, but, like, in the event that you do this again, what would you do differently outside of what you've already said, which is split them up and you know, share with them throughout the beta season? Or, you know,
I think the biggest thing that I would do is kind of what I mentioned earlier. Instead of taking a whole week off for WWDC, just take a couple of days and then take that week before Labor Day off from my day job. Because if I would have had that week, I think I would have been fine.
Gotcha.
Right. I don't think I would have had any major stress issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that was the biggest issue. Once I got all that resolved, it's been pretty smooth sailing. It's been really fun to edit. This has been the only project ever that's made LumaFusion, like made me kind of worried about LumaFusion, because when I hit the play button, it pauses for about a second and then plays. I actually turned the preview quality down from best to good, and it still does that. It's such a large project. Mm-hmm. And then every once in a while, I have to be careful not to scroll through the timeline too fast, because it'll just freeze and I get worried it's going to crash. LumaFusion does a really good job of auto-saving everything, so I'm not too worried about it, but I've been, like, exporting copies of it, and then I've been, like, exporting the zip file, like, the complete zip file, and been putting it on network storage.
Okay.
So, like, I have backups of it, so, like, if something happened and it crashed and all the data got corrupted, it would suck. It would take a little while to download all that, and because it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So it'd take a while to download all that and unzip it and get that project back up and going, but it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Gotcha. All right. I look forward to, you know, being part of the editing process, whether, you know, the small part that I take place in some of your videos where I get to watch them earlier than other people, basically.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate your feedback. Yeah. Like, you're selling yourself short. I really do appreciate your feedback.
Well, I'm excited to kind of see what I'm excited to see what you make, what you do with it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous everyone's going to hate it. And like, I've spent like my whole summer and just wasted it and like, 10 people watch it.
Yeah. I mean, we will definitely talk about like the reception of things once, like after you post it, like how things have gone since all of the weight is off your shoulder. It's now out there. And
yeah. You know. I mean, it could go one of two ways. Like, I've had videos that I didn't think would do very good and they become some of my best doing videos. But I've had some videos lately that I think, oh, wow, you know, this can be really interesting, especially to my subscribers, and maybe a 10th. To 20 or a 10 to 20% actually watch it. So I don't know how this is going to be received. We'll see. Honestly, I'd still do it again.
Good. I'm glad that's what you say at the end of that.
Because even if like going through this and like only gets 1,000 views, like even if at the end of this it gets that, I think I'd still do it because it was. I've learned a lot through this whole process.
All right. Cool. So I look forward to it.
Thank you. So I've been talking about iPadOS, but you don't have anything to run iPadOS anymore. You sold your iPad, didn't you?
Yeah. So,
which is funny because this was a podcast all about working off the iPad at the beginning. So I just want to put that one little bit of humor out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I had to explain this because to roll back real quick. I sold my iPad a little over a month and a half ago now. I want to say, I can't remember the exact date I sold it, but it's been several weeks since I've sold my 12.9-inch iPad Pro third generation. And it had the Apple Pencil 2, and it had the Logitech keyboard case with it. And, you know, I sold it for a good price. And somebody else is now enjoying the iPad, and I'm happy that somebody else is doing that. I sold it for, you know, a couple of reasons, but the big reason is to like what I wrote about in my post on my blog is that I just haven't been using it. I've been gravitating more to my Mac, and I was in the position where I needed a little bit of extra cash, and the iPad was an easy decision for me to choose to sell it. And it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't use this anymore, so I'd rather have somebody else that would use it to its full capability as opposed to collect dust on my desk, and I get a couple of bucks in my pocket for it. It just sort of fell into place like that. It made sense for me to do it. You know, that said, it has been a little over a month, I want to say, since I've been on an iPad and used an iPad. I've been strictly on my Mac and my iPhone. That's it. And as of right now, it's been pretty good. I haven't had any big issues with it. There are some things that I am enjoying on the Mac more than I thought I would compared to on the iPad. And there are other things that I still miss with my iPad that I thought I would find alternatives for. And some of them I have and some of them I haven't. So I kind of wanted to go through a quick list with you, Chris, if you're up for it, of like things I've missed and things that I love in regards to the Switch. If you have any questions, just, you know, stop me, throw them at me, so, and we can go from there.
I'm going to guess the first thing that you miss is you don't have a device you can follow along with my videos with. Like, you don't have, you miss that connection.
Oddly enough, that did not make my list, but now that you mentioned it, sure. Damn. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You just forgot it, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. I understand.
Sure.
That's cool.
Sure. The other thing that I miss,
do people think I have like this huge inflated ego because I make jokes like
that? I hope that they can see the. I hope they can see the sarcasm in this. I really do. I really do.
Okay. I hope so.
I'd like
that. We just need to send them screenshots of our iMessage conversation and show them how low I think of myself.
The amount of tweets made of like just cropping out the conversations, just taking some of the things that you said out of context would be hilarious.
You'd think I'm a moron.
It'd be a fun thing to do just like once or twice.
You do not have my permission for that.
All right.
So what are some things you've missed about the iPad?
There are two apps in general that I miss a lot. And I'm gonna start with one that I've kind of found an alternative for, and then I'll go into the second one that I have not really found an alternative for. The first one being Shortcuts. Siri Shortcuts was great on the iPad, especially on the iPad, because when it came to creating shortcuts, it was far and away way better to create shortcuts on an iPad, whether it be even an iPad mini all the way up to a 12.9-inch iPad Pro. It was much more fluid and easy to create shortcuts on an iPad than it ever was and is on a iPhone, whether it be the 10, the 10S Max, the iPhone Pro, iPhone Pro Max, iPhone 11, iPhone XR, regardless, like any phone that is capable of running shortcuts, it still stinks to run on an iPhone compared to any iPad that can support it. And that's one of the few things that I miss, is there are times where I will make a shortcut because I'm like, oh, this will be great when I use my phone. I could just create a shortcut real quick and use that. Creating a shortcut on my phone from scratch has not been fun. Especially when it comes to like following people along, like Rosemary Orchard and David Sparks do great work with Automator's podcast, and some of the stuff that they've created with shortcuts and some of the things that they've done are great. But there are also times where they like do a walkthrough of like building something. Like I had to build something for Airtable, and a shortcut for Airtable. We need to talk about Airtable at some point.
Yes, we do. I have so much to say on Airtable. I need to do a video on it too, but that's a later day.
Put a pin on it. But like I had to build something from scratch, basically, and put an API in and put some different things in, including like a dictionary. And like doing that on my iPhone, there was just so much friction and difficulty, and it was just annoying to deal with, because all I wanted to do for that small period of time was just take my iPhone screen and just stretch it out so I can have an iPad size screen for like 10 minutes, work on it, and then bring it back down.
I'm surprised you didn't go for the Max then, because that kind of fixes it. I mean, it gives you a little bit more room. It gives you significantly more room.
There are two reasons why I say I did not go with the Max. One, I'm not buying this phone outright. I'm leasing it, and the monthly costs between the two are very significant. So I decided not to do that. And secondly, I use my phone one-handed more than I use it for Siri shortcuts. So it made more sense for me to have a one-handed device than to have a big phone that I can't really do anything one-handed with, that made my life a little bit easier on the marginal things that I use it for. It's not a big deal to me to have a small phone.
Yeah, I took my boss's phone and made sure I could. So I did like the keyboard swipe thing where the keyboard gets shifted all the way to the right or the left.
Yeah.
And I made sure I could still use the Max one-handed before I said that was the one I wanted.
Gotcha. We'll definitely talk about that once we come in. Probably.
Yeah. We'll come back to that
now. But like I said, this I have found alternatives for this on my Mac. And the one being, and I'm sure everyone can guess if there are anybody that uses a Mac OS, is Keyboard Maestro has been doing a lot of the legwork that like Siri Shortcuts did for me on the iPad. There are some things that it does really well at, and there are some things it doesn't do super hot in. I don't want to get super deep in the details, but like, long story short, a lot of things that I was using my iPad for when it came to Siri Shortcuts, I could do with Keyboard Maestro, or some sort of iterative way of doing things with Keyboard Maestro to make that kind of happen. That said, it's still way, way, way more fun to create shortcuts on an iPad than it is to create Keyboard Maestro workflows on a Mac, and I miss it.
This may come as a surprise. I've never used Keyboard Maestro. When I had a Mac, I was pretty cheap when it came to software.
So was I. This is the first time I've used Keyboard Maestro, and the only reason I did was because of David Sparks' field guide.
That dude can sell some software.
Yes, he can. And I got a discount for it, and he made a really good deal with the Keyboard Maestro guys. So, after spending a little bit of dough, I managed to walk away with a really good field guide and a really good product, and I'm happier for it because it worked for me. Your mileage may vary depending on what you do and things like that, but like I've been able to kind of create different areas and things that I'm doing with Keyboard Maestro that I'm sure I'll write about. I need to make a list of things I want to write about, because like doing this right here, Chris, is making my creative brain like fire in all synapses.
Good.
So I'm sure I'll share some things I'm doing with Keyboard Maestro at some point on jeffperry.blog. The second app that I miss a lot is Drafts 5. Before anybody like starts tweeting at me, like put your phone down for 2 seconds while I explain this. Drafts 5 is on the Mac, but the actions of which are not. And
supposedly they're coming.
They are coming. Greg Pierce is doing. I'm not trying to be that guy.
Yeah,
Greg Pierce.
No, I was just trying to. I was just trying to make sure you didn't get the tweets. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean Greg Pierce, the guy that develops this app. I can't give him enough money out of my wallet, really, with what he does with this, because Drafts 5 still is one of the number one apps I use on my iPhone, and it still does really good on my iPhone. And I still use a lot of the functions I was using it on my iPad on my iPhone. And I have Drafts 5 on my Mac, but it's not my main go-to text editing application anymore, because there's the actions in which are that were on Drafts 5 and on the iPad were far and away one of the biggest things about the iPad OS and iOS in general that I loved, because it's not on the Mac. It's just not there yet. And it's coming. And the day that that happens, I will jump over the moon and be happy as a clam, or whatever metaphor you want to use. It'll be great. But as of right now, Drafts 5, I use it to like transfer text over that are ideas for like blogs and stuff like that into another writing app that I use when it comes to blogging and stuff like that for the website. It's a difference in workflow now, as opposed to like everything starts in Drafts 5 and lives there, and then I just publish it out when I'm done. Drafts 5 now just is where the text starts, and then I send it wherever else. And I miss having a series of buttons and a series of things where I could just send the text that I've created somewhere else. Like, yes, you could do Keyboard Maestro with some of it, and yes, I could create some services with Automator, and yes, there are options out there. But Drafts 5 just clicked in my brain, and after spending some time with Tim Nahamik and just reading stuff that he had to say about drafts and talking with him after we had him on the show, it was a lot of fun to use Drafts, and I'm kind of sad that I can't really do all the things that I used to do on the iPad with Drafts 5 that I can on the Mac, which, you know, is what it is, and I make it work.
I've changed how I use Drafts a lot too. Mm-hmm. We need to add that to the list as well.
Okay, we'll have to put that in there. Those are the two big apps in which that I kind of miss using an iPad for. I also kind of miss there's a little bit of like whimsy when it came to using the iPad that I do miss, and I do like enjoyed. I did enjoy being able to like pull my iPad out and just do all the work that I wanted to, and then feel like kind of accomplished because I'm using a product that like I don't feel like an underdog anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't feel like the rebel without the cause. James Dean.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. And honestly, I have a problem that I think a lot of people perceive my work as being that guy, like being the, hey, he just wants to be the underdog kind of thing. And it's really not. I just love the iPad. I probably would torture myself. Yeah, I probably would. But I'm not in this case. I genuinely love the iPad. Like, I genuinely love working from the iPad.
Right. And I kind of miss that. Every once in a while, like I would create a shortcut or do something really fun on the iPad.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't think would be possible, or like something that like you can't really find a solution for on the iPad. But then when you create something on your own, it's like, oh wow, that's really cool. And I'm not saying that like I can only do that on the iPad. There have been times on my Mac where I create a Keyboard Maestro shortcut where I'm like, oh, this solves everything. Or like using an app like Mars Edit, I managed to create my link blog, like shortcut that I used to have on my iPad. I managed to get that to work perfectly with Mars Edit, that it made me really happy, and I even made a post on it, which will be in the show notes now.
I've said this before, working off the iPad, what attracted me to it reminds me of the early days of computing and stuff, like when every nerd and stuff just had a computer and they were just figuring out how to make the computer bend to their will.
Right.
And that's what the iPad feels like again. And I love that. I love having a problem. I have a note, and it's not a very big note anymore. It used to be a lot larger, but it was a note of things I want to figure out to do on the iPad and stuff. And right now it's like find an After Effects alternative, get Xcode kind of thing. Like it's some pretty big stuff that like I just can't do on my own. But I love that whole like I'm bending this device to my will. And I'm doing like the Thanos hand snap thing right now for some reason. But that's what attracted me to the iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was what attracted me to the iPad at times too, because I had this I had this idea of like, I'm going to do this out of spite kind of thing. Like everyone keeps saying that you can't get real work on an iPad. done, like, well, I, guess what? I'm going to do it myself. And that's kind of what I wanted
hold
to do.
My beer.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of miss having that feeling, but you know, it's not a deal breaker for me. But like, those are kind of the things that I miss about the iPad and things that I missed, having, on my iPad when it came to switching over to the Mac. That said, there is another side of this coin where there are things about the Mac that I'm loving compared to the iPad. And I don't know if you'll be as enthusiastic about these, Chris.
What are you enjoying about the Mac that's going to frustrate me, because there's going to be something that does the equivalent on iOS or iPadOS?
Again, this isn't me saying that I can only do these things on a Mac.
No, this is exactly saying, Jeff is saying, people, you can't get real work done on an iPad. This is what he's telling you.
I didn't realize.
Grab your pitchforks and flame torches.
I thought I had made this explicitly clear over the years of like me trying
to kill the monster. I'm sorry. He's not. He's really not, people. He's really not. Put the pitchforks and flamethrowers down.
The thing. There are a few things I like about the Mac, Chris. Do you want to hear about them?
And one of those. I'm sorry. You can cut that.
I'm not going to. I'm not cutting any of this. Is all staying in. There are a few apps that I love on the Mac that I can't. That aren't on iPadOS. If they were, then it probably wouldn't make this list. Mars Edit is one of them. I really love Mars Edit, and I know that there's like
what does Mars Edit do? I've never used Mars Edit in my life. I don't know what it does.
I'm not surprised you haven't used it, because it's essentially just a blogging application. Like
that would be why I've never used.
You're able to use WordPress.com, WordPress.com, like pretty much like you can use like movable type on it. Like it basically all this is that it's a database that you can have all of your blog posts on. You can write new blog posts and you can post them directly to your website without having to use WordPress's web app. Or like, it's a really lightweight application, but it's got a bunch of really, really cool features that I've been learning more and more about. And like I recently did a post about like some of the custom keyboard shortcuts you can create and the custom things that you can make with it. That's been like super fun to do, like markup language and like, It kind of like broke something in my brain where I'm like, oh, you can do this with this app? Like, cause like originally I liked it just because of its simplicity, but now you go under the hood, man, and you realize that you have the engine of a Ferrari in this car that looks like a Yugo. It's so nice. It's so good.
Don't talk bad about Yugos.
Oh God.
Yugo. Yeah. Don't talk bad about them.
Okay. I'm not talking bad about them. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Adobe Photoshop. I know it's coming to the iPad, but it's just not there yet. There are some really good photo editing applications on iPadOS that I highly recommend.
Affinity Photo and Lightroom.
Thank you. Those are two really good applications that I think are really good alternatives. They're also really good alternatives on the Mac as well. If you don't want to spend the money on a Creative Suite for a month, you can just buy those apps outright for $50 each.
Acorn's
fun too. Acorn's a fun one. That one is more akin to like GIMP, in my opinion.
That's a really bad name. Mm-hmm. I hate that. That's such a terrible
GIMP or Acorn?
GIMP.
Okay.
That's a bad name.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. The mascot does a good job of like.
I know what they're going for, but it's not a.
You know. It's been around for a long time. It's kind of hard to change the name now, but.
I get it. I understand. Well, no, I mean, XPMC changed their name, and I'm still annoyed about that.
Fair enough.
Anyways.
Fair enough. And I like the ability to be able to get like way more like this is something I think you actually might enjoy, Chris, is that like my time tracking game has gone above the moon compared to what it was like on the iPad.
I'm curious about this because I've been using Shortcuts Automation to start and stop my time tracking. So like anytime LumaFusion is open, it starts video projects editing. If anytime IA Writer opens, it starts video project writing. Mm-hmm. Anytime Drafts is open, same thing. Like,
right.
Like different apps just automatically start different time tracking.
And that's great, but that wasn't something that was available when I sold my iPad.
Oh, that's right. Didn't you sell your iPad over the summer?
Yeah, but I wasn't running the betas.
Oh.
Because A, I don't have a developer beta account, and B,
Oh, you should have told me. I would have put you on mine. Or did you tell me and I forgot?
You did tell me and you forgot.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right, because the second
you
part...
You got to remind me like 10 times.
The second part is that like I didn't even want to. Like there was just something about this, like the first couple of beta cycles where I'm just like, this is so bad. I can't even like, I'm not even going to be able to like, justify using it because I don't have a backup. I don't have a backup computer. Yeah. I don't have a backup anything. So I've never put Catalina on my Mac. I put iOS 13 on my iPhone for a minute and then reverted back to an old backup I had prior to me putting it on there because it was so bad. And this was like late. This is like beta 7 or 8. It was still bad. I'm worried about when, you know, I haven't touched the GM, so maybe the GM has smoothed over a lot of rough edges, but I don't think it has.
I guess I'm running 13.1, so I don't know. Right. I didn't do 13.0 GM. Like I've been having some weird sync issues during one of the betas, so like I made sure everything was all up on the same level and just kind of kept it there.
Yeah, the whole iCloud,
I'm not touching it.
The whole iCloud file thing was really what scared me too.
Yeah, that was weird. So, yeah, I took everything out of iCloud for a little while.
So there were a lot of reasons why I wasn't using the new Shortcuts app, and that's one of them. But it is nice that like when you open applications, new timers will start and stuff like that, which is cool. But there's an app called Timing that is part of SetApp, which, by the way, if you have a Mac and you use a Mac regularly and that's like your main computer, SetApp is a tremendous service that's worth every penny and its weight. It's worth its weight in gold, to be totally honest with you.
It worries me that that's like not going to take off and it's going to get shut down. Because I want it to succeed. Like, I really want it to succeed. But it worries me that, like, certain people are going to get really reliant on some apps. And then, oh, sorry, guys, we're leaving at the end of the month. Like, that kind of worries me.
I think it'll be fine. I haven't looked into their, like, reports or anything like that. I'm sure they have something out there, like, how they can, you know, talk about how they're still making profit with this. But, well, I don't know. I don't know the specifics about that. But SetApp is a great service for the time being. Well, I will say every month there's new apps that keep joining and no apps that keep leaving.
That's good. That puts away my fear. SetApp came right around the time that I was giving up using a Mac. So I used it for a little bit and then like I was done. So because I wasn't using a Mac anymore.
Yeah. So but like, one of the things I really, really like about Timing and the app that it is that like it gets super granular automatically. Like all you have to do is run this app in the background and it records everything. It records whatever website you've been, it's all locally saved and like it doesn't like you could choose to sync it, but it's encrypted signatures and like the app developer about this is not in any way trying to get your data. It's just trying to get as much data saved for you to look at for time tracking purposes for later. So to put anyone's privacy qualms at bay, like that's exactly what's going on with this. But like it gets really granular, but like every web page you've been onto, every file app that you've like every folder in Finder that you've looked into, like it just kind of like it gets super granular, like to the point where like sometimes I'm like, okay, this is a little bit much. I don't need all this data, but like to be able to choose like what is and isn't worthwhile, then that's great. Because there are times where I'll open certain applications and do one thing for fun and one thing for business, and it's not necessarily as easy as just like, okay, every time I open this application, it's for X, Y, and Z. Sometimes it's for X, Y, and Z. Sometimes it's for A, B, and C. And be able to kind of choose time, like tell time, and I'll be, all right, so every time I'm in this website as opposed to this website, then it's productive and then it's unproductive. It's nice. That's all I will say is that it has allowed me to do time tracking the way that iPad OS was never allowed me to do, because at that time you had to manually start and stop timers. And I'm sure that if I were to be using time tracking on iPad OS when iOS 13 comes out, or if I were using it in the beta, it probably would have solved a lot of my problems with it as well. But the ability to not have to worry about starting and stopping timers now has been a godsend for me. And I think that's one of the main reasons why I enjoy time tracking now, is that I don't have to have it be always on my mind. And every time I do something different or switch to different tasks, it just automatically covers all the tracking and I can sort it out later.
That's good. I will say, like, after I did my Timery video, so like before I did Timery and I was writing notes on it and like really diligent about remembering it was there, I was great about always hitting the time tracking button. And then as soon as I posted that video, something about like my like mental brain thing, it relaxed and I just stopped remembering to do it. So when automations came back with 13.1 and the beta, that's when I started automating all that stuff. So that's been a lot better. So like I have it automatically stop time tracking anytime I open like Twitter, Discord, YouTube, things like that. but like automatically start when I go to a productivity app and stuff like that. So I'm constantly getting notifications about timer start, timer stop, timer start, timer stop. But it's kind of nice because then it's like, oh, it's stopped. I shouldn't be doing this, bad me. And I go back to working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and I'm glad that it's working for you now. And in that, like, that ability has been added to shortcuts. I think it's going to save a lot of people a lot of trouble, and it's going to allow people to have more and more tracking data that they otherwise would not have. So it's good. It's cool. I'm happy for it. And again, I'm not poo-pooing anything about the iPad OS. I'm not saying you can only do this stuff on the Mac, regardless of what you might have said earlier, Chris.
I mean, I heard you say something along those lines, so, you know, whatever.
There are a number of like really cool things that Brett Terpstra has created that have been, that I've been using to kind of to quell my issues with like drafts five actions I no longer have. You know, there are a number of them that I use, but like one of the big ones I use is an app called Bunch, where it's basically like you have a bunch of different groups of apps that you use for certain elements of your life. Like you can have like a writing group, you can have a recording group, you can have a podcasting group, you can have a relaxing group, and like all, like every, you can like choose what apps to kind of open up at when at those certain groups. And you can have another list in that rule of like what apps have to be minimized or closed. And it's kind of nice to be able to just like switch modes pretty quickly with Bunch. It's fun. And it's a newer app.
Cool. That's kind of like the new iPad OS multitasking, how you exactly can have apps paired, but on a bigger scale than more than just two apps. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then he has some really cool Markdown services tools that you can use. There's one, I forget which one it is, but I'm sure I'll put it in the show notes, of like where you can actually like use custom keyboard, not shortcuts, but like snippets. And then you use keyboard, you use system services to basically highlight. Like if I do Bane AS or something like that, AWS or something like that, it'll then search Amazon for whatever word I have after that. And it will just create a hyperlink with the Amazon link with my affiliate on it as well.
Ooh,
which is really, really nice.
That's nice. See, it's utilities like this that I miss, that make me miss the iPad. Like I know like these that you're talking about, I could build these in shortcuts. Like, cool. But like I like just seeing like the creativity from other people, other developers and stuff, building stuff, like it's so cool. That's what makes me miss the Mac the most.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Brett Terpstra has a ton of really cool stuff. I'll put a link to all of his work. I recommend all of it. I'm sure there's something in there that will be of interest to you and you can play around with it. But there are a couple of things that I've installed of his, and I don't want to get super into all of it, but check out that stuff.
Blog post.
Yeah. But also just check out Brett's stuff and just kind of find something that might be of interest to you, because that's how I got started.
Oh, that was my way of saying you need to write a blog post about all these. And how
No. I agree. I agree with you. I will do that. But at the same time, like until I write all that stuff, go ahead and check it out and get it for yourself if you're interested. But like those are like that's basically the nuts and bolts of like things that I miss and things that I really enjoy so far in the month and a half of like being Mac only, and not having iPad with me. And it's been fun. And there have been times where I have to kind of like relearn how to use my brain, because iPadOS was just so instilled with me and Siri shortcuts was so instilled with me that like there were just certain things that I just wasn't prepared to have to change until I made the switch. And it's been interesting to kind of reimagine like my writing workflow, for instance, is completely different. And just doing all that stuff has been interesting. And I'm sure I'll write more about that and share more things here. If anyone has any questions, you can go ahead and get a hold of me. Speaking of which,
what's your phone number?
No. Speaking of which, I think it actually might be a good time to wrap this up, because we are at the time we're over an hour and a half recording right now. This is long episode, which is
fine. We had a lot of stuff to talk about.
Exactly.
We haven't recorded in a while too, so I think that's
okay. It's justified 100%. So yeah. But I do need to and you need to get some sleep here, Chris. It's later for me than it is for you.
It's 7:15 in the only time zone that matters.
Okay, we can get into this later. So, Chris, if people want to find you online and you wish to be found, where can they find you?
So you can go to my website, theuntitledsite.com. Links to my YouTube channel and all that stuff is there. You can subscribe through that. What are you supposed to say? Smash that bell. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You don't really have to. If you want to know when the iPad OS walkthrough is coming out, you can turn on notifications. I usually tell people, don't turn on notifications for YouTube, because that's a terrible, terrible thing. Even though it benefits me greatly, don't use notifications for YouTube like that. You don't need to live your life like that. I mean, no, don't. I seriously mean, it does benefit me greatly when you do, but don't do it. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Chris_Lawley, LAWLEY. You can find me on Instagram at the same thing, but there's two underscores because somebody's squatting the single underscore. So I've been posting like behind the scenes pictures and stuff of my film setup. So yeah.
You can find me over at jeffperry.blog, and you can follow me on Twitter at IamJeffPerry, as well as Instagram at IamJeffPerry as well, which is where I'll probably be posting a lot of the photos that I take in this next year-long process of like one photo a day kind of thing, and where I'll be sharing a lot of stuff, because I've been wanting to get more into the Instagram game as well. That's kind of one of the reasons why I'm doing this. Is to,
you want to become an Insta influencer.
Exactly. No, I just wanted to do something fun in a new social media app, because Twitter's kind of killing me on the inside. But anyway, that's where you can find us. And if you want to get to the show notes, you can go to aslabofglass.com, and you can find all of that stuff over there as well. So I look forward to your big video, Chris. And I'm excited.
I look forward to it too.
I'm excited to talk with you next episode and about the new iPhones as well.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. We have something exciting planned for that.
We do. It'll be fun. We haven't done it in a long time. We'll tease that at least.
And I don't think we've ever done it for iPhone.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
On the iPads, we've done this.
And my iPhone is going to blow your mind.
Okay. We'll see. All right. Until then, Chris, I will say goodbye to you and goodbye to everyone else. Goodbye.
See ya.